Okay, hi. Hi everyone, I'm Chloe, if you didn't get that. If I haven't met you before, I know there's quite a few of you that I might not have met. Do come and say hi, I'd love to get to know you a bit. I know what we're doing right now is a bit of an awkward way to meet someone, but just drop me a message on Facebook or come and say hi physically, I'd love that. I've been coming to Metro, I think for about 5 years now, which makes me very old in Metro years. and it's just been a really great journey with this community, looking at how it's changed and grown and evolved, particularly at the back end of what has been a very weird year. I've loved seeing how we've evolved as a church and how God has continued to use us as a community. And it's amazing to actually have people here today. I genuinely thought this was just going to be me and the camera, so I'm so thankful for you guys being here, cheering me on. And for you guys watching the pop-up, hi to you, and anyone watching online as well. You're so welcome. It's great to have you with us. Now, last week, Matt Price finished up our series on Say What. If you haven't caught up with that yet, do catch it online. It was really good and really encouraging. Matt covered some really meaty stuff. But in case you don't already know, it is now December. December has crept up on us, which means I can stand here and legitimately talk to you about Christmas. Now, if you're not quite ready for Christmas, don't worry, because today I'm going to talk about Advent, the run-up to Christmas. Now, when I was given the topic of Advent, I genuinely thought I knew what it was about. Turns out I really didn't. So this is going to be an interesting one for all of us. When we hear the word Advent, surely the first thing that pops into our minds is obviously the chocolate calendar. Now, we love a chocolate advent calendar, those like happy little ritual where we eat a chocolate a day on the run-up to Christmas, where we then eat a lot of chocolates at Christmas. It's like a warm-up for our stomachs. It anticipates the arrival of Christmas. Now, whether you're someone who you've got an advent calendar this year or you've ever had an advent calendar in your life, chances are you are one of three types of advent calendar users. So see if you can spot yourselves, okay? I'm going to be asking. Now, the first type of advent calendar user, you're thinking there cannot be three types of ways to do an advent calendar. You are the traditionalist. You prize very carefully open the box each day of your advent calendar, the right box on the right day, and you have one chocolate a day on the run-up to Christmas, okay? Now, user number twos, you're feeling a little bit ashamed at this point, because if you're honest, you really struggle holding back, and you have been known to eat more than your fair share of day's chocolates in one sitting. And you've got to the point in life where you're having to consider having more than one advent calendar to actually reach it to Christmas in the first place. Now, user number threes, you're thinking, oh, what's that about? Because you're the type of person that you forget to eat your advent calendar chocolate, and you get to catch up. You get to eat more than one because you've forgotten. Who are you people? How do you do that? I don't know. I had a flatmate once, and hers actually went off in a drawer. Don't know how she did that. So quickly, put your hands in the air. Tell me, are you a one, a two, or a three? Where you are, studio, pop up, put your fingers in the air. Online, put it in the comments. Yeah, okay. Now keep your eyes peeled for any threes, okay? Because you want to make friends with them. Chances are you might get some of their chocolate in January. So hold on to that. Now, we love the Advent calendars, but actually Advent has been celebrated for a long time in the Christian calendar, much long ago than the chocolate has been with us. But the chocolate Advent calendar does get something right. The chocolate Advent calendar is all about waiting and anticipating, and actually Advent itself is all about waiting and anticipating. And it feels pretty apt talking about waiting at the back end of 2020, because I think more than any other year we can remember, this year has been a year of waiting. If I were to ask you guys, okay, well, what are we waiting for? I think most of us would say things like a vaccine. We might say we're waiting for being able to see our friends and family again, maybe going back to the office, attending uni lectures in person, going on holiday. Remember that thing, the going on holiday? We're waiting for that. But it's been really tricky for us because unlike with our advent calendar, you know, when there's a definite end point, what we've had this year, we're not sure when everything's going to end. We're not sure when the end point's going to be, so we're waiting around. So it's a really good moment for us to be talking about Advent. Now, like a lot of words we've got in the English language, the word Advent comes from a Latin word, adventus, which means coming. And we've quite literally and naturally taken that over the years as getting excited about the coming of Christmas Day. How good is that going to be? Unwrapping presents, I'm counting down on my Advent calendar. And in the Christian tradition, in Christian churches, Advent's often been the time when we slow down a bit, where we anticipate the birth of Jesus. We anticipate the coming of this baby born in the manger, changing our world. But the problem is when I looked into this, there's a couple of problems with this. The first one is that actually we can be anticipating the coming of Jesus, but Jesus has already come. He's already come, okay? So we're anticipating it, but we know he's already arrived. And the second problem is that we have the fact that historically, Advent became a thing around 6th century. Now, 6th century Christians started practicing the period of Advent. And again, the problem with that is 6th century Christians, well, Jesus had been born a long time before that point. So they weren't anticipating this coming of Jesus either. So what was this coming that was being anticipated? And when I looked into it, it turned out that actually, this is a coming that even you and I haven't had yet. Now, as I said, our word Advent comes from the Latin adventus, but really that Latin term adventus comes from a translation of a Greek word, which is parousia. Now, parousia is a word that's used quite a lot in the New Testament, but with a very specific meaning. It does mean coming, but it doesn't mean the baby Jesus coming in the manger coming. In fact, parousia explicitly makes reference to Jesus's second coming. Now, if you're thinking, hold on a sec, Chloe, I thought that Christians celebrated that Jesus had already come at Christmas. You would be right, we do. But as Christians, we believe that Jesus is going to come again. Jesus has promised to come again. Why do we believe this? Well, because he said he would. Now, the topic, Jesus talked very openly about the kingdom of God when he was on earth. He talked about how he was here to bring God's new rule and reign, his kingdom. But Jesus was very open about the fact that what he had come to do wasn't it, that actually he'd be coming back again, that this was going to be a two-parter. And the topic of second coming is a really, really big one. It fits into the field of the study of end times, which is called eschatology, big word. I thought I was being clever. I was Googling escapology. Don't do that. Didn't help at all. But it's turned out that people can spend like their whole lives studying eschatology, their whole lives studying Jesus' second coming, and still not really fully understand it. So we can be very confused and intrigued by this topic, but it turns out, again, that we're in very good company. Jesus' closest friends, his disciples, also were confused and intrigued by this topic. They'd ask Jesus questions like, well, how will we know it's going to happen? When is this going to happen? What will it look like? So I thought today, when we're looking at Advent, we delve into one of Jesus' conversations with his disciples around the topic of his second coming, the end of the age. And it's found in the New Testament book of Matthew 24. And it's a really long chapter, it's a really good chapter, but I've sort of chunked it up into bits today. Not because I don't like some of it, go read it for yourselves, it's great, but just in the interest of time. So we're going to read that together now. So let's have a look. I've got it in front of me this time, because last time I did this, it was behind me and I had a horrible time reading it. So bear with me. Here we go. Matthew 24. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of birth pains. Now, jumping forward a bit more. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, those last little chunks, those last little paragraphs that we read, is actually Jesus quoting a lot of other parts of the book of the Bible. If he had to do footnotes, there'll be a lot of footnotes there, put it that way. In the Old Testament, there are hundreds of prophecies, and they're written in quite a distinctive type of language. And Jesus isn't literally saying, this is exactly how it's going to go down, guys. But what he's doing by quoting these old parts of the Bible is he's saying this. He's saying, you know all those prophecies that foretold my birth, foretold that God was going to send a Messiah, a Savior, to bring people back to him, to restore them to right relationship. Jesus says, I am that. I am the embodiment of that. But he's also saying here, you know all those prophecies that sound like the end of the world, when God's going to create all things anew. Jesus said, that's going to happen, but not just yet. This is a two-parter. What really jumped out to me when I was reading it, you know, and it talks about all the like the trials and tribulations and wars and famines and earthquakes, is that Jesus calls them birth pains. So let's highlight that on our text behind us, birth pains. Now, elsewhere in the Bible, this idea is expanded. There's a guy called Paul who writes in a book called Romans. He says that all of creation and you and I are groaning as in the pains of birth. Now, that might sound a little bit weird, but bear with me here. We really can feel our creation groaning at the moment, hey? We really can. Now, regardless of whether you would say, yeah, I'm a Christian, Chloe, or I'm just exploring, or someone's dragged me along, or I'm listening over my flatmate's shoulder, I don't want anything to do with this, we can all agree that our world right now is not how it should be. Things are not going well for us. We've really had like maybe 4 or 5 years where you see in the media people going, oh, 2016, complete write-off, can't wait for 2017. 2017, awful year. And it's just got worse and worse and worse. And we're at the back end of 2020 and anyone will tell you, oh man, we've had a dreadful year, haven't we? And, you know, we've had unprecedented levels of violence, injustice, political and emotional turmoil, upheaval of people, refugee crises, climate chaos, and obviously pandemic, et cetera, et cetera. Things are not going well for us. And somehow we can't seem to work it out ourselves. We can't seem to get things better ourselves. Now, I'm no midwife here. There definitely are midwives around. Ask them, they know better. But from what I understand about labour is that it's a very painful process and it's often slower than you'd like, with these birth pains getting closer and closer together until new life comes. And it's really interesting then that Jesus talks about all these problems in our world as birth pains. He tells his disciples, don't be alarmed. He says, these are birth pains. They're getting closer, closer together, but new life is coming. Because much like with Jesus' first coming involving a birth, Jesus' second coming also involves a birth. But this time, it's the birth of a new heaven and a new earth. We've been reading from Matthew, which is at the beginning of the New Testament, but if we flick to the end of the New Testament, a book called Revelation, it talks about how things are going to end up, what God's ultimate plan is for us. And it has this amazing passage where it talks about this new heaven and this new earth. And it talks about how the old order of things has gone, how we're walking around with God, how there's no more pain or mourning or suffering or death. That has all gone. And this yearning that you and I feel that stuff's not right, that we can't make it right, but we want things to be, you know, good. We want things to be like that new heaven and new earth. It's because we're between times. We are waiting. So why on earth remember all of this in the run-up to Christmas? Why did 6th-century Christians want to remind themselves that they were living in the waiting in the run-up to Christmas? The narrative of Jesus' birth is a great one, right? It's a really great one. In fact, it's such a great story that we're going to spend at least the next 2 weeks talking about it. Come to Metro Carols next week. It's going to be amazing. We're going to start talking about it then. And as Christians, we love to mark Christmas. It marks the birth of this baby into our world and God's plan entering into our humanity. It marks the restoration of things. It brings us back into relationship with God, how we're meant to be. It is a great story.
But we've got to remember that actually that Christmas story is part of a much wider narrative. There's a brilliant thread running through the whole of the Bible of this God who loves his creation so much that he gives anything and everything to bring them back to him. And Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection are all part of that. In fact, that Christmas story and that Easter story are pivotal because of what Jesus did on the cross, taking on our mess, bearing that separation from God, and then coming back to life again. Because of that, we know how this story is going to end. We know that God has got ultimate victory, and that is incredible. And this is the good news about Advent. God speaks, this isn't it. And at Christmas, we'd like to be our happiest, right? The songs we sing, you know, merry, jolly, rocking around the Christmas tree, you know, all meant to be happy, all meant to be really such a good time for us. And Christmas films rub this in too. I think, embarrassingly, I'm on about my fifth or sixth Netflix Christmas film. I may have a problem. I may need to be stopped. But Christmas films rub this in as well. You find, like, the lonely finding family, and the long lost returning home and being welcomed home, and the perpetually single finding someone in a grocery store who's their soulmate and marrying them next week. We love those happy endings, and we want that in our own lives too, right? We want those happy endings. We want everything to be okay, both in our life, in our nation, and in our world. And we feel this groaning that I was talking about. Advent reminds us that God's work isn't finished. We're still anticipating more. Jesus has promised to come back. We've got that promise of a new heaven, a new earth, all being made right. And much like with our Advent calendars, we've got, you know, our little chocolates that lead up to a bigger, greater chocolate. I mean, the little chocolates are nice, but the bigger chocolate at the end is the best bit. With Jesus in our lives now, we get incredible joys. There are incredible joys of knowing Jesus in the now. We get incredible slices of God's kingdom in the now. But we're told, we're to be encouraged, that actually we have got good stuff in the now, but there is great stuff still to come. So we could just read all the stuff we've read together about all the wars and the earthquakes and problems, and we could, you know, get our diaries out and start going, well, that ruler has been overthrown, and we've had that famine and that war, so Jesus is going to come on Tuesday at 7 p.m. We could be like those people. In fact, we've had many of them in history who have done that, who've made bold end-of-the-world predictions. But what's really interesting is that Jesus, whenever he talked about coming again, made something really clear. He'd always say something like this. So the passage we're doing in Matthew, it says this. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Jesus makes it so clear. He's saying to his disciples, guys, I don't even know when this is going to happen. There is no point in you reading all that stuff, looking into it, and then deciding when I'm going to come back. Not going to happen. But what he does say is, the reason why I'm telling you this is this. This is my instruction to you. It's not to predict when I'm going to come back. This is my instruction for you. He goes on to say this. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day or hour your Lord will come. And this is the challenge of Advent. If we've had the good news about Advent, that Jesus is coming again, this is the challenge of Advent. Jesus repeatedly told his followers to watch for his return. Now, watching and waiting are a little bit different. I think sometimes when we're waiting for stuff, we can be quite passive about it. Like, I could be cooking and I'm waiting for my pasta to cook, and I've wandered into the other room and I'm on Instagram stories flicking through, and my pasta boils over. I've just been doing other things while I'm waiting for it. But if we're watching for something, our eyes on the horizon, our whole body is focused on that thing. We are really wanting it. We're really anticipating it. And earlier when I said, okay, well, what are we waiting for? We would have said quite a few things before we got to Jesus' second coming, a new heaven, a new earth. That would have taken us a while to get to that point. all of those things we've said, like vaccine or holidays or seeing family, they're all good things. But quite naturally and quite quickly, those things that we're waiting for become the things that we're centering our lives around. You know, that whole kind of, I'm living for the weekend, I'm living for my next holiday, I'm living for my paycheck to come through. People don't have paychecks anymore, do they? Payday to come through. I'm living for that. Because very naturally, where we're watching is where we're walking. Where we're watching becomes where we're walking. And watching out for Jesus' return demands an active focus on our life. It would be incredibly stupid of us if we were using our Advent calendar every day, like a good number one tradition list would, opening, eating the chocolate. And then we got to Christmas Day and we went, oh my goodness, it's Christmas Day, I've done nothing about it. How did that happen? No, because when we're carefully opening our boxes, eating our chocolates, counting down, anticipating, we're doing things like maybe buying a Christmas tree, sending out Christmas cards, booking annual leave, cleaning the house for relatives to come over, all of these things because we're anticipating Christmas Day. And the same is true when we're living, watching out for Jesus' return. We're anticipating him coming back. We're to be living in anticipation of that. And Advent is an amazing time. It's this incredible invitation for us to refocus our thinking, to look at, okay, what are our lives centering around? And are the decisions that I'm making reflecting that? Do I know that I'm still part of God's big plan, God's big story where we haven't had the end yet? Do I know that I'm a character in that? And today, if you don't know that you are in God's great big creation plan, that you are part of this story, then my Advent challenge for you guys is just this run up till Christmas to find out about what the first coming of Jesus means for you, what Jesus being born in a manger means for you at the back end of 2020. And we're going to make this really easy for you. Come to Metro Carols next week. We're going to be exploring it together. It's going to be an incredible time. And I guarantee you that as you look into, okay, what does Jesus's first coming mean for me, that it will be life-changing for you. And if you're someone sat here and actually you go, yeah, I know, Chloe, I know that I am part of God's big story, that we haven't had the end yet, then let's live lives that look like it. Let's live lives that are watchfully waiting for Jesus to come back. What does that look like? Well, we're not called as Christians to live these small, little, finite, humdrum, plodding on with the usual kind of lives. We're called to lead big, expressive lives that are full of purpose and passion, making a difference in eternity. What does this look like in person? What does this look like in real life? I think really interestingly, Jesus must have predicted his disciples being like, hey, but what do we do with this information? Because the chapter after the one we've just read, we've been doing Matthew 24. Matthew 25, Jesus tells three parables. And each one of those parables is about life in that waiting. It's about what we do as we're watching out for Jesus to come back. What we do, life living in between times. And they're amazing parables. They're pretty meaty. So go and have a look at them for yourself. Look at it as a hub. Maybe make that your Advent challenge between you. But Jesus basically talks about three main themes from these three parables, that what life in the waiting, life watching out for his return looks like. And the first one is this. Jesus talks about how if we're watching for his return, we are living faithfully. Jesus talks about how while we're watching for his return, we need to be investing in relationship with God, investing in relationship with him, not kind of putting off and going, oh, I'll wait till I'm 40 and life's dull. I'm just going to live my life now and think about that later. Jesus, it really encourages us to take that up now, to have that personal relationship with him. And not just a relationship where it's like, well, my mum prays and my flatmates are Christian, so I'm covered, it's all right. Jesus is saying, hey, come on, guys, this is urgent, this is anticipating, this is preparing for my return. Have this relationship with me, I want to know you. And the second thing that Jesus talks about in Matthew 25 in these parables is that if we're watching for his return, we are changing the now. This kind of idea of Jesus coming, this isn't pie in the sky, I'm going to sit around doing nothing until he comes back. Jesus makes it so clear that what we do now has incredible kingdom consequences, that actually we're to be good stewards of what we have right now. We're to be good stewards of our finances, our gifts, our skills, our jobs, our friendships. All of that can have incredible kingdom value, more than we ever realize. And the third thing that Jesus talks about being watchful for his return is that we're looking out for others. We're living lives that are outward focused, living lives to bless other people, to signpost other people to God's love and what he's like. And a really big part of what the Bible talks about is us telling other people about Jesus, about that good news that we have, about that hope that he's coming back again and he wants relationship with them in the here and now. The Bible's really clear that actually God is not being slow in bringing this all about, that actually he's waiting for as many people as possible to have had chance to have heard and responded to that message. So this Advent, let's be people who take time out of that busyness, that kind of snowballing Christmas busyness, and let's go, hey, look, we have an incredible hope. We have a much bigger hope than just relying on our politics or our economics to get us out of what's going on right now. We have hope. We have this promise from Jesus that he's coming back again. And God is going to make all things new. He's going to restore everything and renew everything. And that difference that makes to us as we lead up to Christmas. Christmas is not the only joy that we hope for. We have a much bigger joy than that. And this Advent, we've got that invitation as well, like I was talking about, to recenter ourselves, to refocus our vision and going, hey, what's my life pointing towards? Does it look like I'm living in anticipation of Jesus coming back? So to finish up today, we are going to have our big idea. And today's big idea is this. Advent invites us to remember that not only has Jesus come, but that he has promised to come again. We live with greater hope, looking forward to when all is made right, and we point our lives towards God's kingdom as we watchfully wait. So I'd love to pray for us all now, just as the band come up, and then we're going to hand over them to do some more worship. But let's pray together now. Father God, we thank you so much for this incredible message of hope. We thank you that, Jesus, you have promised to come back again, and that we know that we are anticipating more than what we have right now. We thank you so much for the joys we do have right now. And we just thank you that you have promised that the best is yet to come. We thank you for that hope of a new heaven and a new earth where all is made right, where you have the victory. God, I pray that you'd equip us to be characters in your story, bringing little slices of your kingdom where we are. God, would you help us be people who point others towards that too, that get them to know Jesus, get them to have that personal relationship with him. God, we pray for anyone right now who doesn't know that that's what you have for them. Lord, I pray that this Advent you would reveal that to them. Father, will you help us reorientate our thinking, our lives, so that we live around you, we live with in anticipation that you are coming back. Thank you, Lord. Amen.